This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a real pleasure to have as our guest on the program today, Dr. Robert E. Kuttner. Dr. Kuttner is an instructor in preclinical sciences at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. He did his college work at City College of New York and graduate studies at the University of Connecticut, from which institution he received his Ph.D. in zoology. Dr. Kuttner has been a research assistant at the Brookhaven National Laboratory, a teaching assistant and research assistant at the University of Connecticut. He's a member of the American Association for the Advancement of Science and is currently serving as president of the International Institute for the Advancement of Ethnology and Eugenics. He's the author of more than 20 publications in the fields of physiological chemistry, neurochemistry, biology, psychology, and anthropology. Dr. Kuttner, it's a real pleasure to have you on the program today.
Thank you.
You have recently testified, Dr. Kuttner, in a school case in federal court in Jackson, Mississippi. This case seeking to show that there are valid racial differences between groups of white and Negro children, which would make it advantageous to provide separate educations for these groups of children. Now, what was the area of your testimony during this trial? On what subject particularly did you testify?
Well, I testified chiefly to the effect that there were genetic components in behavior, in mental function, that these components were largely determined by the inheritance of the individual, and that they were not subject to much environmental modification.
There's been a great deal of argument recently on the role that environment plays in the creation of the ability to learn, the desire to learn, the motivation of a child, if you please. But you're saying then that the genetic factors based on heredity far supersede the environmental in their importance.
That is correct. I made reference to the fact that the components involved in determining behavior were to the extent of at least 70-80% determined by the genetic elements. In other words, the range of modification possible by environmental influences was 20% or less. And this I concluded from studies on identical twins. These twin studies made in England and in the United States showed that the behavior of identical twins, even when reared apart, subject to different environmental influences, were not modified very much, that the correlation in the behavior between these twins was very high, even though their environmental circumstances were very different.
Really. These are tests made then on identical twins as distinguished from fraternal twins.
That's right. Identical twins are almost duplicates in the genetic sense. They are both derived from one fertilized egg. Their genetic inheritance is identical, which is the reason why they are called identical twins.
They have been separated at birth for one reason or another and raised in different homes.
That's correct. Separated at birth or shortly thereafter, and separated to almost a complete extent, perhaps as far apart as Chile for one twin and Denmark for the other. This is an extreme geographical separation. The environments were very different. When twins who were separated early in life were tested, various mental tests were given, general intelligence, the factors in intelligence, various personality tests. It was shown that despite this separation, the performance of these twins were very close, very closely correlated. And this indicates that the separation did not produce much change in these qualities that were being measured by these tests. And this, of course, is proof that environment has only a modest role in determining these behavioral and personality and intelligence factors, and that the genetic element is dominant.
Is there other proof of the importance of the genetic element other than these twin studies?
Well, I think this is the most reliable approach to assessing the importance of the various factors. There are other ways, of course, in estimating these things, but the method of twin study is, by all considerations, the most meaningful and the least subject to question.
I understand that there are, Dr. Kuttner, some recent works that have been published which make specific reference to brain size and to deviations between human brains as a possible factor of testing intelligence or potential intelligence or potential for achievement. I don't know what term you prefer, but...
There have been recent studies. There have also been studies in the past. The general consensus is that brain size relates to brain function. The bigger the brain, we may say, the more ability, more talent the individual or the organism would display. We know that in the upward progress of man, the brain has increased in weight from fossil types to modern type. We know this is true also in the animal kingdom. Higher forms of life have bigger brains. Likewise, there are changes in the general shape, the contours of the brain. These also are important. The layers of the cortex, the thickness of the cortex. And in these measures and these things that we are referring to, there are racial differences.
These have been measured?
Yes, there have been anatomists who have studied this problem, making contributions to our understanding of the structure of the brain, and they have shown, with regard to the African brain, a approximately 15% thinner cortical layer. Cortical layer is the outermost part of the brain and presumably the most important part so far as higher functions are concerned, because it's the last to appear in evolution. There have been other studies with modern man showing that the size of the brain relates to intelligence, and the best known would be the study of Porteous and Berry on school children. They have determined the size of the brain by measuring the skull in the living individual, of course. And they then studied the top 10% in size and studied the bottom 10%. And they found that those with the larger cranial capacities, the larger brains, that group contained more bright individuals. The bottom 10%, though that group also contained some talented individuals, for the most part, let's say half, the members of that group were defective. So that here we have a measure of the importance of the brain in the living individual also. The fact that individuals with big brains tend to be wiser, more educable, more talented, and individuals with smaller brains tend to be less talented.
I'd like to digress at this point for just a moment, Dr. Kuttner, to ask you about this. Whenever the question is raised as to the intelligence factors in groups of people, and specifically in terms of racial groups, comparing groups of whites and Negroes in terms of intelligence testing, brain size, or anything else that would relate to intelligence, those who would follow the equalitarian theory always bring up the point that there are these notable exceptions. And quite occasionally you hear the expression overlap used in this terminology. I wonder if you'd mind explaining this to our audience. Just exactly what does this overlap mean and how significant is it?
Well, by overlap, this may be an overlap in brain size. This may be an overlap in test performance on some IQ test or some psychological test. But the term overlap means that there are some individuals in the group that averages lower that are larger in the measured capacity than the individuals in the more talented group or the group with the larger brain. Overlap means that even though the two groups may be separated in terms of some average, there are some individuals in the lower group that match up with the average or even do better than the average in a larger group. However, that doesn't mean that the individuals in the smaller group overlap the leaders in the front group. And the fact of overlap itself is not to be taken as rendering meaningless such studies that separate populations by performance or by brain size, because we have individual exceptions to every rule.
Now, Dr. Kuttner, from the studies which you have made, from the literature which you have read, from the observations which have come to your attention throughout your academic career, have you formed any conclusions as to the advisability of separate or mixed education for groups of whites and Negroes, insignificant numbers?
Of course, this is not my field. I can pretend to know special knowledge of educational theory. However, I do believe that separate education can be justified for different racial groups. Much of this depends upon the community or the community attitude. Much depends upon the factors that develop from integrated situations. We know that in some communities, integrated schools can be harmful. We also know that in some communities where segregated schools are operating, there is no evidence of damage to members of the various racial groups. The fact of separation itself is not injuring anyone. In general, weighing evidence from many sciences, I would not recommend a rapid integration of schools at this time. I can see it producing harm and damage, particularly to the Negro.
Dr. Kuttner, our time has gone very quickly. Thank you very much for being with us. Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Dr. Robert E. Kuttner, instructor in preclinical sciences at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska, president of the International Institute for the Advancement of Ethnology and Eugenics. Join us again next week at the same time, and we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.